Fascinating thing about the sovereignty of God, when you think about prophecy, it's already laid out. Everything is going to occur according to the prophetic word. That's why studying the book of Revelation is so important to believers, and why there's a blessing in there. Blessed is he who reads it and hears it and heeds it. That's why that's said, because it is revealing the sovereignty of God even in the predicted climax of all history. It causes Christians to rest in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord, because we know how it's coming out. Amen? And the world looks like it's in a mess. No sweat. It's going to be settled by God. God's going to straighten it all out. When? Don't know. Told us to wait.
Welcome to a new week of Bible teaching on Hope for Today, the Bible teaching ministry of David Hocking. Today on the program, we're continuing our series on the attributes of God. God doesn't share his throne, and he doesn't surrender one inch of his authority. Kings rise, leaders rise, nations rage, men boast, and the world shakes its fist at heaven, but God is never threatened. He's never dethroned, and he's never forced to answer to anyone. Throughout this series, David Hocking is opening up various portions of Scripture to show us the attributes of God. And today he takes us to Romans chapter 9, verse 6, to bring us day 3 of his message, the sovereignty of God. If we ever need to be reminded that the Lord still reigns, still acts, and still accomplishes all of his holy will, well, stay tuned. We're about to go back into the Word of God for more on God's sovereignty. Just before today's study, we want to tell you about our monthly ministry letter, the Hope for Today monthly ministry letter. It's a simple way to stay connected to what God is doing through Hope for Today each month. We have ministry updates and encouragement from the Word, a special offer, and prayer request. And again, it's sent out every month. To start receiving it, visit our website or call 800-75-BIBLE. In Canada, call 888-75-BIBLE. Bible is 24253. Well, as promised, here's David with today's lesson.
The sovereignty of God is a wonderful theme. In Romans chapter 9, it is described in a most powerful way. It's a chapter that causes people a lot of trouble. And I guess if you look at it from man's point of view, who's arguing for his rights and his ability to do as he pleases, then you will have trouble with this passage. But if you center your focus on God and the fact that he is not sitting as a passive observer to the events of human history, but rather actively involved, bringing it all to a wonderful and grand climax. From beginning to end, he is God in control. Then you'll read it with joy. Then you'll read it with understanding. But it is not easy. We'll begin our reading at verse 6 and read down to verse 24. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I'll come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, that is Rebekah, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it's not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for the same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you and that my name might be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now turn to chapter 11. He concludes the argument in verse 33 of chapter 11 with these words. And you can really identify with them having just read what you did. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Or who is first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him or unto him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Don't take one thought in your little brain about anything that's in the future, for sure. Don't even worry about what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry. Why? Because your Heavenly Father knows all about it and He loves you. He'll take care of you. Amen? God will take care of you. He'll lead you all the way. Praise the Lord. So just trust Him. Well, can I be a little concerned? How about prayerful concern? You understand? If I could just spiritualize this a little bit. You know, we are so concerned. And God has touched our hearts to pray about this. And in our prayers, the anxiety comes out. The prayers aren't to worship the living God. The prayers are to express how we're all worried. Wait a minute. Ephesians 1:11. Look at Ephesians 1:11. You talk about the will of God. Is he, in fact, performing his will in the affairs of men? All things. Here's what it says, Hebrews 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his what? His will. So if you ask me about the sovereignty of God, I speak of his powerful control of everything based on his position, his power, his pleasure. I look at his providential care of everything and I see his ways, his wisdom, his work, his actual work, and the fact that it is his will. It's being done. Number three in the sovereignty of God. Watch it. This is the tough one. Back to Romans 9 in your Bible. The sovereignty of God involves his personal choice of the destiny of all peoples. What? Did I hear what the pastor just said? You heard right. The sovereignty of God involves the personal choice of God in the destiny of all people. Nobody's excluded. There are two issues involved in this, folks. One is God's right to do it, and the other is God's reason. Now, in Romans 9, as you know, just glancing through the text, it says, verse 14, is there any unrighteousness with God? Well, of course, we don't want to say that. And Moses heard this message from God about God's own name. God said, you want to know what I'm all about? Well, I have mercy on whomever I want to have mercy, and I harden whom I want to. Any other questions? Wow. Verse 16 concludes, it is not of him who wills it. Suppose you say to me, well, listen, boy, you will it, and it will happen. No, it won't. Whatever happened, you may have gotten in on it by willing it, but that's only because God, in fact, allowed that to occur, because whatever he was going to do, he was going to do anyway. You go to a seminar that's success-oriented. Amen, boy. You actually can make it happen. I put my money on the line. I go out of there. Hey, we are going to turn the world upside down. Amen. Maybe there's 20 people in a seminar. 18 fail. Two guys succeed. And guess what? They're used as testimonies. Nobody stops to think, whatever happened, happened. If I would, no, if God would. You understand the right of God and the reason of God are not looked at much by our generation. We're in our own personal rights and our own personal reasons, and we don't want to hear this. What we have established in Romans 9 is the right of God. It says in verse 20, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? He certainly does. Cannot he do whatever he wants to? How fascinating that he used the word clay, because as you know, man's body came from the dust of the ground, and to dust we shall return when we die. So God took it and said, look, can't he do whatever he wants to do in anybody's life? And if you answer, I don't like that, you better be careful. The sovereign God has the right to do whatever he wants to do. And when you ask me about God's personal choice, why this? Jonah said in chapter 2, verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. It is the Lord doing this. He saves whom he wants to. And who's going to hell? Whether we want to identify with it, he not only knows, but it's a part of his plan and his sovereignty. Proverbs 16:4 says he does know that the wicked are facing a day of doom. And he has a reason in that. Otherwise, why not have everybody be saved? Or, put it another way, why don't we all be robots? Evidently, God wanted all of this to happen for a reason that sometimes is not found in my finite human brain, but is clearly taught to me in the Bible. I may not agree with what the Bible says, and perhaps you think that's your right. I would say that is your dangerous position. But it doesn't make you right. Man questions what's in the Bible. Hey, I understand that, folks. I can understand why a man who's been given the choices that he has, who has the mind to think that he has the emotions that I can really understand why he might reject what's in the Bible. But hey, don't fool around with my brain or yours acting like there's something not in the Bible. Why, we're only scratching the surface. The question is whether we believe it or not, because it is definitely in the Bible and a lot of people know it. And it frightens them when they read it. You see, when you ask about the personal choice of God and the destiny of all people, you must speak of his right. Arthur Pink, in his fine volume called The Sovereignty of God, says on page 52, God claims the based on Romans 9, God claims the indisputable right to do what he wills with his own. Wow. It's not only his right or his reason. You say to me, wait a minute, well, what's his reason behind the destiny? I read in the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13:48 that they had some results. And you know what the verse says? As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. That's what it says. Let me repeat it again. As many as, that tells me something right there, had been appointed, I learned something there, to eternal life believed. What's the reason of God? As I analyze that, you know what that verse says? I mean, regardless of whether I agree with it or not, the verse says, believing is the consequence, not the cause of God's decision. As many as were appointed to eternal life, they believed. So believing in the message, which Paul was experiencing as he and Barnabas were preaching, believing is the consequence, not the cause of God's decision to save them. And yet there are thousands, especially in America, there are thousands of us who claim to be Christians who believe exactly the opposite. That the reason is our faith. But that is not what the Bible says. I learn also that not all are destined for salvation, obviously, because it says as many as. I learned that all who are ordained or appointed by God will, in fact, believe that no one can resist his will, which is what it says in Romans 9. For who has resisted his will? No one has. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the greatest preacher of the last century, called the Prince of Preachers, one of the greatest orators, the volumes a man wrote alone in his life are incredible to believe. Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, the man used to preach in open fields to 25,000 people on Sundays. I mean, folks, we're talking a man who had a tremendous ministry, sent over 500 preachers out into the world and missionaries from his own college. The guy had a fabulous ministry. Spurgeon wrote after Romans 9 these words, is it not God who gives the disposition to believe? If men are disposed to have eternal life, does not he in every case dispose them? Is it wrong for God to give grace? We would answer, of course not. If it be right for him to give it, is it wrong for him to purpose to give it? Would you have him give it by accident? If it is right for God to purpose to give grace today, it was right for him to purpose it before today, and since he changes not from eternity before any one of us ever came into existence. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul said, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. God destined, my friends, and designed and decided the means to accomplish the result that fulfills his original purpose and choice, whether we like it or not. 1 Peter 1:2 says, we are elect, we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 26. You talk about the sovereignty of God, it involves his personal choice and the destiny of all people. And my friend, if you are listening to me now and you say in your heart, well, and we don't have anything to do with this, then you didn't listen. God designed the means as well as the result to fulfill his original purpose. And the fact is, if God begins to work in your heart, one of the ways he does that, according to the gospel, is by the preaching of the word of God. So your arguments are going to pale into insignificance because you made a mistake this morning. If you're not a Christian, you showed up to hear me preach. Yeah, well, I can get out of here right now if I want to. Whatever happens will happen. Do you understand that you can fight this all day long? But God, at least in his infinite wisdom, had somebody hound you to death to get you here to hear this guy scream and yell at you about how God has a right to do what he wants to. God ordains the means as well as the end, whether I preach it or whether a friend or maybe a family member has been praying for you or asking God to save your soul. God knows how to work it, my friends. And that's what makes it all so glorious to all of us who are Christians, how God uses all kinds of things to touch our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, you see your calling, brother, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing to things that are. God, why? What is your reason? Here it is, 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the answer of God. Verse 31, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. One last point. Turn to Revelation 19. When you talk sovereignty of God, you're talking his powerful control of all things. You're talking his providential care of all things. You're talking about his personal choice and the destiny of all people. But you're also talking about his predicted climax of all history. Fascinating thing about the sovereignty of God, when you think about prophecy, it's already laid out. Everything is going to occur according to the prophetic word. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. Whatever God has decreed and revealed in his word is actually going to happen. That's why studying the book of Revelation is so important to believers, and why there's a blessing in there. Blessed is he who reads it and hears it and heeds it. That's why that's said, because it is revealing the sovereignty of God even in the predicted climax of all history. It causes Christians to rest in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord because we know how it's coming out. Amen? We know we are not in doubt. We know what is happening. And the world looks like it's in a mess. No sweat. It's going to be settled by God. God's going to straighten it all out. When? Don't know. Told us to wait. But it's going to happen. And in one great climactic statement of praise to God, you learn about the sovereignty of God and the predicted climax of all history. In Revelation 19, as you learn about the collapse of this world system, it says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever, as they saw the victory of God over the systems of the world, both religious and political. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as a sound of many waters, as a sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. And here is the sovereignty of God in great climactic fashion. For the Lord God omnipotent, what? Reigns. We started out in Psalms. The Lord reigns. He is reigning. And all heaven breaks out as God brings it to a great climax. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it's true. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And one day we will know that like we do not know it now.
Well, that's Bible teacher David Hocking, and this is Hope for Today. David will be back to close out our time in the Word in just a moment. Yeah, he'll have a special word of prayer to kind of wrap up the study and to encourage our hearts. So do stick around for that. First, though, David's son Matt is here, and we have a couple of really helpful study tools for you. Matt?
In moments of heartache, disappointments, trials, and discouragement, most people want to know if there is a God who understands our feelings and cares about us.
Matt, we hear this in the phone calls we receive from our listening family, the letters they write. So many are enduring seasons of tremendous trial. And at such times, even a seasoned believer can struggle. Does God care? And is there a Romans 8:28 outcome on the horizon?
Well, knowing and thoroughly understanding who God is, according to the Bible, makes all the difference.
Amen.
And the fact is, if our knowledge of God is lacking and our focus drifts away from Him, our total perspective in life can turn to self-sufficiency.
And there's very, very little comfort or hope there, is there?
Right.
And think about a time when your dreams were shattered, maybe goals unrealized.
Well, it's at those times, Jim, that a certain emptiness remains that only God can fill.
Well, inside the God of the Bible, David Hocking shows us how the big questions about the origin of all things, death, life after death, are answered satisfactorily only when we root our understanding,
our perspective and outlook.
Exactly. Right. In the presence and existence of God, a God who knows the beginning and the end of all things and who is personally involved in the course of human lives and events.
And that God really does exist. He is personal and knowable, and he is the God of the Bible.
Well, this month we're featuring The God of the Bible by David Hocking. It's just $20.
Yes, deepen, expand, broaden your understanding of the God of the Bible.
And watch your faith take off.
Amen, and add to the lessons you're hearing during our current radio series.
You can also get David's sermon notes and outlines for this series. These are the sermon notes and outlines he used to preach these messages, and we have a complete pack covering the whole series, and it's just $10. This will be so helpful for you as you hear this series here on radio and to help you review it and to recall the lessons you've learned in the years ahead. Again, that's the Sermon Notes Bundle for the Attributes of God radio series, and it's just $10. And speaking of the series, we have that available on audio on an MP3 CD covering the entire series, all 16 messages, and that resource is just $20. To order any of these resources, go to our website, davidhocking.org. That's David, HOCKING.org. davidhocking.org. You can also call us at 800-75-BIBLE. Of course, that's in the U.S. In Canada, call 888-75-BIBLE. And while you're in touch, would you prayerfully consider standing with us financially? Hope for Today continues to declare the truth of God's Word without compromise, and your support helps keep that going. Your gifts help keep this broadcast on the air. It helps us provide strong Bible teaching and helps us reach people through radio, online streaming, and other outreach opportunities. So your gift, whether it's a one-time offering or a faithful monthly gift, makes a real difference, and it makes you part of the ministry. Monthly support especially helps give this ministry a steady foundation as we continue proclaiming the gospel and teaching the whole counsel of God. So if the Lord has used this ministry to strengthen your walk and deepen your love for His Word, we'd be grateful for your partnership with us. To send a gift by mail in the United States, write to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S8P1. Or you can give online at davidhawking.org or call us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And here's David to close us out.
Father, thank you for reminding us again that so many things in life we do not understand or know. But we believe, because of the Bible's teaching, that you, Lord, know it all. The tragedies, the blessings, you know it all. And you know why it happened. And your purpose must sustain our hearts when we're going through tough times. Lord, teach us, we pray, to trust you. And we know you said there's a purpose to everything that's done under heaven. You have told us that your purpose, you are working in our hearts and our lives, and nobody can stop you. You're going to accomplish it. You told us whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. And God, I pray that you'll put within us the commitment that your words are more precious than food to sustain my physical life. Thank you, Lord. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, David. Tomorrow on the broadcast, we move into Psalm 111 as David Hawking shares day one of his message called The Power of God. We'll see what the Word of God says about the great works of the Lord and the awesome power that belongs to Him alone. We'll see you right here for Hope for Today.